Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that, your word we can go to, Lord, to receive, to hear you, Lord, to apply to our life, to be transformed, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for that. And we open ourselves up, open our heart to you. Lord, give us understanding, give us revelation, give us truth, Lord, that we may be set free more and more by your word, by your truth, by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, today I'm going to start a new series. And it's the result of, you know, last week on Thursday, I was sharing scripture on God's grace. And I was doing a study on that. And I decided that to do the same thing, not the same thing I did on Thursday, but teach on grace and start a series just on that topic. Because I believe that this is a fundamental topic for believers, for our experience as believers. But unfortunately, when people preach on topics, they always take the part that they will like and they leave out this part that they don't like. And as a result of that, you don't get the whole counsel of God. You get a portion of it, and that brings always confusion and error. So the whole thing has to be looked at, not just one scripture. You have to take the whole thing, balance it out, and so that, you know, the concept or the whole way or approach that God has is explained and clarified. Because if you take a scripture, in one scripture, you cannot have the whole truth. It's in the whole Bible that you get the truth. And you have to become familiar and understand all the different aspects that God explained and give us. And unless we do that, we get confused. We get more in trouble than anything else. So I tend to cover everything that I can to balance out things, because otherwise, you know, you end up in error. So to start with, okay, God cares about our relationship with him. And in John chapter 4, verse 24, says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, and we have to start really, you know, worshiping God is the way we relate to him. We is our relationship with him. The word in Greek is proskuneo, which is composed of two parts, pros and kuon, combined together. Pros is just a indication of a direction we go through, a direction we have, and kuon means dog. So he's comparing our relationship with God, the relationship that the dog has toward his master. That's the meaning, okay, the figurative meaning of the word worship in Greek. Okay, so it's actually the idea of a dog kissing or licking the hand of the master. Because we are not much better than a dog compared to God. No matter what anybody says. Okay? So, it implies, you know, kissing a prostrate homage to him. A relationship of reverence, homage, you know, by kissing him, you know, kiss the Lord, you know. And so, this is really the thing. And that has to be done, okay, as I said, dear, worship him in spirit and in truth. So in spirit means that it has to come from the inner part more than the outside part, okay, from the, our inner life, from our heart and from our soul. And that has to be the origin of it. Shouldn't be just an exterior things. And the truth component is to talk about something else, okay, that is talking about the fact that, you know, the expression has to be a reality, not false or hypocritical, not just an external show, but should be just the outcome of what is going on inside us. It has to be complete correspondence between the two, otherwise the whole thing is a farce. And we have to understand that, okay? So, and now, you know, God's grace, and I'm talking about, you know, our relationship with God, okay? Our relationship with God comes out of not ourselves, but from Him. Okay, God's grace is a basic truth and a basic component of our relationship with God. And the scripture that generally is used and everybody knows about that is Ephesians 2:8, which describe, you know, that for by grace we have been saved through faith and not that of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So the idea here is explaining not everything about grace, and is mentioning the fact that we are saved because of grace. It's the grace that operates in us for us to be able to connect with God, to be able to be saved. So our salvation is nothing else than really the ability for us even to connect with God. Okay. If we are not saved, we cannot really connect with God because God cannot connect with somebody that's not saved. He wants to. His desire is for that. But there is not going to be any connection, communication, interaction with God, because God's position is very clear and is a holy God. Okay, we have to understand that. But He reaches out to people that are not saved. In fact, God's grace, and I'm not going to, you know, go into all the detail, okay, extends to everybody, even the ones that are not saved. The point is there are different levels of grace. There are different levels of interaction with God. There are different manifestations, if you want, of the grace of God that we need to understand. And all of them are related to not God, our position. Our position determines the way God reaches out to us, the way He ministers to us. Now, you know, one of the important things to understand, okay, that for many people, grace is something, it's just a theological term. It's just something that is a word, but there is no any substance in understanding and any substance in relating to God's grace so that we can actually connect with it so that we can actually experience it, because that's what has to happen, okay? The idea, this is a basic scripture on grace, okay? And show some of the fundamental things, okay? Especially the fundamental impact that has on us, okay? First, that we are saved by grace. Our salvation comes by grace, by what He has done. If He is saving us, we don't save ourselves. That's the first thing that we have to understand. Okay. And the second thing, it is a gift, okay? It's a gift of God, it is not something that we can earn by doing anything. So those are the two elements that are very important, okay? But they're not the only two elements. And we are going to cover lots of different aspects of different degree of grace that we can receive based on our position. Okay. This is really the most powerful, if you want, manifestation of the grace of God toward us. The fact that we can be saved at all. Okay. And that is really indicating how important it is for us to connect with it. This is where actually the power of God is manifested more than any of the miracles that took place. Because we were dead and we become alive and we have the, you know, eternal life in us, the life of God in us. Hopefully, you know, as much as possible of that. Okay. So, we need to fully understand, okay, what God's grace is, how it works, and how it works, you know, and the only way to do that is by knowing the scripture in which it's talking about grace. Not just one scripture, okay? You know, the word grace in the New Testament is charis, okay, which means gift, okay, and is 156 times mentioned in the New Testament. But it's also used in the Old Testament. In that case, the word is ken and is mentioned only 69 times, but it's good enough time. Put it together, you know, I mean, God talks a lot about grace. And if we think that by one scripture we pick up everything, all the information it has in more than 200 and some scripture, you know, is really, we're fooling ourselves. Okay? We need to really spend time and see not only what this, all the scriptures say, but we should also should see the relationship that all the scriptures have related with one another so that we understand the impact of the different side or the different component that brings about grace of God operating in us. Are you following me? Okay, so we need to go that, okay? And basically in all cases, okay, it means that it's God's unmerited favor and kindness toward humanity. That is the meaning of grace in general, okay? But to understand it, we must consider the whole counsel of God. We have to understand, you know, everything that is involved in it. Otherwise, we end up distorting the meaning of it and just missing the ability to connect with it. Okay. Now, the fact that it is not an abstract thing. It's not something that we can connect with. But the only way to be able to see it, you know, and to be able to apply practically, in a practical way to our life, we have to understand it. Without understanding, it means nothing. It's just a word. But we have to see what that word means and what are the practical implications and physical implications for us. Okay, we saw one, the fact that, you know, we are saved. I mean, that we are, and we are going to talk more about that too. Okay, it's meaning what is really meaning with that. Okay, it's not an abstract concept. Okay, it's a practical living reality that we must understand and we should experience. It has an impact on us. If it produces salvation, that means, you know, the result of that is really a powerful impact on all our life. It changes everything in us. And so that shows that it's more powerful than even a miracle, physical miracles, or healing or anything like that. And we have to understand that, that the power in God's grace, no matter which level is, manifests actually the power of God in his interaction with us. Everything that happened in our interaction with God always happened by grace. I mean, it's always, he is wanting to bless us. He wants to help us. He wanted to minister to us. He wanted to save us, basically. In all cases, to different level. Okay. So this series, what I'm going to do, is really to go deeply into that topic. Okay, and make God grace move from a just a theological idea to really a central theme of your experience with God. Because it is. Because anytime you connect with God, it's not because of what the things you do, it's because of what he chose to do. Okay, so grace, okay, to understand grace, that's what I said before and what I'm saying, you need a sound biblical basis understanding of that, okay? And, it's really showing one thing, God's attitude toward us in general, okay? So, and that's it. There is right away, but when I'm saying that, there is an implication there. Okay, you cannot talk about grace properly if you don't talk about God himself. Okay, if you don't understand properly the doctrine of God, you cannot have a proper balanced idea of the doctrine of faith, of the doctrine of grace. Okay, so we had to go to that. Otherwise, we are going to get a false doctrine, and there are many. Okay, so let's start with the Old Testament, because this is not, I told you there are scripture in the Old Testament, there are scripture in the New Testament. And I'm not going to cover them all, because there are far too many. Okay, but I'm going to cover some of that are, at least to start with, just showing how it was described in the Old Testament. And now, actually, it's expanded and completed, or better, fulfilled in the New Testament. Okay. For example, when Noah found grace with God. Okay. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy men whom I have created for the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and bird on the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." See, so really, the reason is, that he, often the word grace is mixed with other words. And well, in the Old Testament, there is freedom to translate in different way. Really, what did is God, had mercy toward him and saved him. That means he realized that he was going to be in trouble and he was willing to help him out of the situation. So, and then the following verse, Genesis 6, 9 says, "And this is the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God." So you see the source of grace, the source of, be able to connect with God is to be just, because God is just, okay, is to be first perfect. That means, walking in God's way. So when we walk in God's way, we are going to encounter or to the degree, if you want, that we walk and walk God's way, we are going to encounter God's grace. Already here in the Old Testament, it was explained very clearly that grace is not just something that happens to you just by chance, that happens to you because one day God wake up in the right side of the bed and says, okay, I'm going to just give grace to this person. That's not the way God works. Again, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, okay, the Lord proclaimed what? His character. You see, it's always connected with God's character. That's why when we talk about grace, we have to talk about God's character. We have to talk about God's attributes, you know, his moral attributes, because this is the way he functions. Okay, now, talking about his character, really, we can talk about his attitude toward men, toward us. Because character and attitude are always coming together. Because they are related to one thing. Okay? A judgment toward us. Okay? So, Exodus 34, 6 says, and the Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Okay, so here we can see that, you know, it's the connection of grace is made with this attribute of God. He's merciful and gracious. Gracious is, you know, with grace. They provide grace to us. Okay, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. See, one thing that is coming out right away, even in the Old Testament, this is a statement made before grace was fully manifested. That all these characteristics of God were to be connected with one thing, truth. And this is one of the topics that actually is really make a complete difference. Okay, here we find the divine attributes of God, okay, involved in grace, you know, is also his judgment and his attributes in general, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, okay? These are really most of the moral attributes of God. And so, you know, grace is nothing else than an expression of these things. But it's always combined with other attributes in God that he has shown me in the following verse. See, not only those attributes are important to determine God's grace, there are also another judgment, okay, that comes here. But keeping mercy to 1,000, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin, by no means clearing the guilty. So you see, there is together with the goodness of God, okay, is very clearly saying that, you know, he's not going to deal with them if they are guilty. So the guilt has to, in one way or another, be dealt with. Okay. As I say, just jumping a bit, verse 8, yeah. So Moses with haste and bow, he sat over earth and worshipped. So you see, God speaking to Moses, communicates to him, and Moses responds immediately by acknowledging God, by acknowledging his presence, by bowing before him, okay, and by worshiping him. That means, you know, what we said before, the meaning, you know, a connection of really kissing the hand of the master. Recognizing that he was God, the Lord God. Okay? So here is The immediate response of Moses is an indication of the fact that he was completely open and was wanting to connect with him and was, not reacting in a negative way to what was communicated to him. He was submitting himself to God. Okay. We continue here, verse 9. Then he said, I now have found grace in your sight. This is Moses speaking. O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us to your inheritance. So here he say, okay, he's taking a position, recognizing that they are stiff-necked people. They wanted to do their own thing. And says, forgive us our iniquities, okay? And, be forgiving us, essentially, okay? And this is established, really, the relationship that extends God's grace to, not just himself, but also others. When we receive God's grace, one of the manifestations that's going to be in us is the fact that we are going to acquire grace in our personality and manifest that toward others. Okay? Because it's contagious. Because it's a part of the result of the grace of God, that when it comes inside us, one of the manifestations of that is that we become gracious toward others. The way he is. You see, as we enter in communion with him, his nature, his character, his attitude is transferred as well, because the eternal life that is in him is start to be in us. Are you following me? You cannot get in contact with God and receive God's grace and remain the same. There is always a change, and the change is a transformation into something seem better, closer to him, more similar to him. And to the degree in which your content, your communion with him takes place, is going to be the type of manifestation that is going, you are going to actually demonstrate. Now, okay, so... And the result of that, okay, is that there is a relationship established between Moses and all the people that will be benefiting from this grace with him, with the Lord. Okay. So pardon our sins and take us to your inheritance. And he said, God says, behold, I make a covenant before all your people, and I will not do marvels. I will do marvels such as those never been done in all the earth, nor in any nation and all the people among whom you shall be see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome things that I will do for you. So I will do. We establish a covenant between God and the people, and that covenant is going to be manifested by him working supernaturally, in way doing marvels for the people that are connected with him. But, he would do only with them. Okay. Then it goes on and explain them. They had to keep the covenant. Only by keeping the covenant, they are going to be able to experience what is promising here. Exodus 34:11 says, observe what I commanded you this day. Behold, I'm driving out from before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and all the others that are there. Okay. And he's going to, help them to be successful, be blessed, be protected, be receiving God's grace, okay, or God's favor, which is the same thing, is, you know, the benefit of connecting with Him. But, you know, the essential point is that they had to understand, they had to keep the covenant. Okay. The following verse 12 says, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitant of the land we are going. Let it be a snare in your midst. So here, you see, the covenant was established, okay, and that required that they would be obedient to the covenant, to obedient to God. They had to walk with Him. Okay. That is Old Testament approach, and they didn't understand too much. You know, there was not enough information. The only thing they had given you, you know, this happened after giving the law. You know, I given the law and said, you had to follow all the instruction that I gave you. And then you are going to be, I'm going to be manifesting my grace for you, and you are going to be blessed in all the things you do. Okay. Well, let's move to the New Testament. The New Testament, there have been changes. Okay, and the change they took in the New Testament, that Jesus came. And so the relationship now is a different one. It wasn't based on the law anymore, but was different. You see, Jesus Christ, by coming here, embodies God's grace. He manifested God's grace in full. Okay? See, grace is really a gift from God, but really a privilege that we had to become children of God. And this was announced even before Jesus died on the cross. In John chapter 1, verse 12, says very clearly, for as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. So you see, believing in His name are one of the, and receiving Him is the critical element for us to receive God's grace in the New Testament. Okay, the, you know, they said, yeah, the translation says, to them He gave Him the right to become children of God. The right, the word the right there is exousia, which actually means, can be mean right, can be meaning privilege, mean the authority or the delegated authority to be able to receive that. Okay? And the children actually means that they are, you know, the word is technon, which actually means offspring. The one that comes out, you know, the one are generated by Him. So, you know, evidently, He's talking about in a spiritual way, that means they are born again, born of God. Okay, so they are offsprings of God. They are not anymore, you know, dead from a spiritual point of view. Okay, so, and the what happens there is when they believe, okay, in His Jesus' name. Okay, that means believe is the word is pistewo, which actually means a faith. I mean, they want to put their trust in Him. Putting your trust in Him, open up the fight. You know, it's the only thing that is required to start with. Okay, is the basis, the starting point in which that enable us to connect to the grace of God. Okay, becoming okay. Believing or put your trust in the name of Jesus. The name there is onoma, which means, you know, name, but really the implication means everything that the name implies, everything that He has done, everything that He has achieved. Okay, so believing everything that He has done for us has many other implications that we'll see in a while. Okay. But in the following verse, you know, it expands much more on that. In verse 14 says, okay, and the Word came, became flesh, and dwell among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you see, He was full of grace. You know, there was no fullness of grace in the Old Testament yet. But here, when he showed us, you see, because there cannot be fullness of grace without truth. And so he was full of grace and truth. And by doing that, you know, that means, you know, we fully understand. We fully connect what we was doing, and we fully align ourselves what we has done for us. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, I just jumped to some scripture here. I'm going to go back a moment. Okay. So, you know, it says here, believe in his name. Okay. It says, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, but not of will of man, but of God. So the fact that, you know, we, as we believe in Jesus, we are born of God. We are his children. We are his offspring. Okay. He made us. Okay. He's like our father. That's the implication at this moment. And so as our father, we are connected with him. Spiritually, as well as physically. So, now, the verse I was read before was that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, this is really the grace and truth are the attribute of God. That means, you know, they're really the characteristics of God, moral characteristics of God in which you operate. Okay. Now, the following verse talk more about John. John was the born the weakness of him and cried out, you know, this is the one who I said, who comes after me, but is preferred before me, for he was before me. You know, he is just saying nothing else, that he was part of the Trinity from the very beginning of creation, before the creation. Okay. So, but continuing about the grace component, okay, in verse 16, and of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Okay, so we can see that there is a change here of the grace that was given before. And there is actually this part that says, you know, in the fullness we have received, you know, in his fullness we have received. Okay, so he produces the fullness of grace and grace for grace. You know, that grace for grace, you can see in commentaries, there are dozens of different interpretations. But I think it's very simple if you just read the following verse and it just apply to that. It says, for. If it's for, that means depending on what it's just finished saying. Okay. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So that's really from grace to grace. I mean, the initial grace, now there is a new grace added to it, greater grace, more grace that is made available by the fact that it wasn't just the law that was operating, but now is grace and truth. I mean, he came to explain so that we can connect, we can understand why and how we can connect with God's grace. It's not just obeying rules, it's just connecting with him and having a relationship with him. Okay? Because we understand the way God works. Okay? Now, the following verses, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the Son of the Father, he has declared him. So the fact is, you see, the fact that the truth now comes from Jesus' declaration, Jesus' explanation, Jesus' expansion on the understanding about God. So that we can connect with him in a greater way than we could connect with just the law in the Old Testament. Now we understand God, we can connect with him in a better way, which is actually a spiritual way, not just a physical way. in the physical way, you can only connect up to a certain point. Okay. So now we can receive, because of Jesus, the fullness of grace. And that is by the fact that is manifested. How is manifested the fullness of grace? Is manifested by be able to receive eternal life, be able to connect with God and have a relationship with Him that wasn't available yet in the Old Testament by simply they were just benefiting on the physical, but they were not able to connect on the spiritual level, most of them anyway. Okay? So, and this is really explained in a more extensive in the way that I just read the scripture before in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace we have been saved through faith, and not by yourself, it is the gift of God. You see, grace is God's gift based on what? It's based on God's sovereign decision that the only thing you have to do is to trust and align yourself with Jesus. But when I say the only thing, that the alignment is just as important as believing in what He has done. It's not just believing that Jesus is resurrected, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus has paid for your sin. That's not enough. You have to align up yourself with Him, because this is where the explanation has to come through. Okay? So, through faith, okay, in Jesus, by believing in Him, we connect with the decision that God made to make available His grace, His gift to us, that produces a change in us, in our spirit, in our heart, in everything, okay, so that we become children of God. We are born of God. And that, you know, is more than just believing that, you know, what Jesus did through His crucifixion, death, and resurrection. Okay? Jesus took our place. He paid for our sins and satisfied justice. You see, there is not just mercy here, but there is justice included. Okay? And He overcame in your place, okay? Because He was able to do that, because He was without sin. Otherwise, He couldn't done. And Jesus, okay, had victory over sin because He was resurrected. But, you know, for you, you know, to participate in Jesus' victory, okay, you had to align yourself with Jesus' position and behavior and attitude and judgments. That means you had to say, if you love me, you obey my commandment. Now, says there, Ephesians 2:9, the following verse, okay? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, well, you know, connecting to other scripture, we can see, okay, in Romans 6:23 says very clearly, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, which the gift of God is grace, okay, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see, God's gift is that we have eternal life in us. Okay? Through what He did, not through what we have done. But we believe in Him, trust in Him, align ourselves with Him, and then, you know, we, you know, our work, no matter how much we do, cannot pay for our sins. But what He has done, okay, as many as received Him, God gave Him the right to be the children of God. I mean born of God. That means receive eternal life in them. Okay. Going again, Romans chapter 6, verse 22 says, but now, having been set free from sin, and having become slave to God, of God, you have your fruit of holiness, and the end everlasting life. You see, Romans 6:22 explain actually the process, the way it takes place, okay? Having, okay, being set free from sin. The sins that have been paid for, we are set free from them, okay? And having become slave to God. See, there is that component that has to be there. It's not just the sins are forgiven. We become slave to God. That means we are obedient to God, obedient to his direction. Okay, so there are different aspects that need to be considered. If you take any of this out, the whole thing is not valid. The whole thing is not, you know, you cannot get the grace of God. All of them have to be there. Because everything has to be satisfied according to the scriptures. Okay, so, in fact, if you take many other scriptures, not on one scripture you create your own doctrine. You have to take all of them and they all to have to agree with each other. So we're going now, for example, to Ephesians, okay, chapter 2, verse 10, which is the following verse after we read Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, we should walk by them." So the idea is that we are his workmanship. Actually, the word in Greek is poiema, which actually means his creation. We are created by him. We are something that he made, okay? He made us, okay? And then it shows us God's plan. God, you know, made it for what? He created us in Christ Jesus for good work, prepared for us. Everything is being prepared. He knows what we have to do. He knows what he expects from us. And we have to just follow up his direction. Okay? We should walk in God's plan and do good works. But that, you know, that doesn't depend on God. This is a part, it's a choice that we have to make, steps that we have to take. We have to be willing to do so. Because God doesn't control us. Although he said before the verse 20, Romans 6:22, you know, having become slave of God. But you know, the word slave is really not really slave. It's bond slave. That means slave of decision. Slave because we want to be, because we love him. See, love, slave were the people that they could have been set free and be released from being slave, but they chose to remain with their owner because they love their owner. And here the word is the same. Okay, we are born slave of God. That means we choose to follow, to be connected, to do the things that he calls us to do and to be obedient to him. Okay, and so that we can see that all the different parts of this are connected together. Okay, the result of that we are to do the good works which God has prepared beforehand for us. That means that there is God has a plan for us. See, his mercy, his grace and his mercy, they work at the same time in us. Okay, behind that, there is the plan of God that expects us to align ourselves with him and to start all functioning and doing the things that he wants us to do. Okay, that means, you know, yes, he expects us to be changed. There has to be a transformation inside us. Okay, and here, for example, in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Talks about that. For the grace of God has appeared. See, it's all connected to the grace here. See, all the elements that I'm bringing together today are all together connected with the grace of God, and the grace of God is going to be manifested when all the pieces are together. You cannot take one part and forget the others and think that you have the grace, you can get the grace of God. Okay, here says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing what? Salvation to all people. So that is God's purpose for His grace to be transforming us. Okay? Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Now, not when we go to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying that when grace is really operating on us, we are changed, we are transformed, because the objective of grace is our transformation. And the fact that as we are transformed and start manifesting God's character, you see, again, you see what happens? We become children of God. What does it mean that we are children? Because a child is the same as the father. And Jesus said, you know, be as perfect as your father is perfect. What is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that, you know, God's transformation, God's salvation for us should produce in us the change to manifest the attribute, the divine attribute of God in terms of walking the way he think, the way he judged right. Are you following me? Otherwise, we are fooling ourselves because, you know, we think about, you know, I'm saved because I'm going through a ceremony or going through a prayer or going to things and nothing happened. Well, I'm sorry, you're deceiving yourself. You are not in the truth. You are not in the truth. See, being in the truth means that there is no hypocrisy. There is not saying one thing and doing another. There is consistency or reality of what your position is. Let me continue here. Almost finished for today. So, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-control, upright, godly life in the present age. That means now. Okay. Again, Titus 3:3 says, you know, for ourselves, we were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and desires, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of his love, you know, in that the kindness of his love is nothing else than his grace, okay? Of the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not for by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy, his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the regeneration of the renewing of your Holy Spirit. So you see, the salvation involved the Holy Spirit working us, that changes us, and we are going to be different, aligned now with the God. You know, following verse 3:6 says, you know, who he poured out of his abundance, abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And verse 7, and having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, he's talking here about not just having the eternal life, but he's talking about the hope of eternal life. See, something that you hope doesn't mean you have completely. You are waiting for the full manifestation of the eternal life inside you. Okay? And so that hope becomes, okay, what? Becomes your motivation. That hope of eternal life, when Jesus is going to come the second time, is going to be fully manifested. And at that full manifestation, you are going to see the whole thing actually manifested by the power of God having transformed us completely. Okay, for now, we are working toward, he's training us, as I said before. And, you know, that was the topic we were following before, the training. But here he's saying, you know, he's training us through our salvation to grow into him, to develop in the way he wants us to be. Because that was, the grace of God is not only for when we accept Jesus and receive him. See, there is a amount of receiving in us according to our understanding, according to our knowledge of him. And the more we know him, this is the growth. The scripture we're talking about, the knowledge. You know, the more we grow in the knowledge of him, the more we are going to be transformed if we have really a relationship with him. And that is the chance for the grace of God to keep manifesting in us, transforming us, changing us, not in just one shot, but growing in the understanding. And as we grow in the understanding, we are going to manifest more and more the character of God, because that is what the eternal life is going to be manifested in us. Eternal life is not just a word. It's a question of really the manifestation is in our behavior, in our action, our decision, our everything. Praise the Lord. Okay. And bottom line, you know, I'm just running over already. So, you know, in Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 says very clearly, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing the fruit of the good work. That means, you know, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And increasing in the knowledge of God. See, as those two elements are working in us, this is what happened. Our connection with the grace of God is going to be there all the time, and is going to increase, and is going to manifest the power of God to transform us, empowering us to become more and more like him. And it's not an effort that we are trying to do in our own way. It's that he changes us because his nature become evident and manifest itself. Because our judgment and our thoughts are his judgment and his thoughts. So his behavior are going to be reflected in our behavior. Praise the Lord. So you can see there is just more than one thing contributing to the grace of God. The grace of God is not just when we are born again, or we're not just when we believe in Jesus, when we say something. It's not just a question of even say something. It's a question of experiencing the grace of God in our life. And to experience the grace of God in our life, we have to have the understanding of what is involved in it, of all the different aspects that have to come together. And the more things are together, the more is going to be the manifestation. His glory is going to be in us, not because he gets excited and go around jumping, you know. It's because the power of God is transforming you and empowering you and enabling you to be walking, pleasing to him. So let's close in prayer. Do you get something here today? Okay, it's not complicated. It's just the fact that, you know, God is big. And because he's big, there are so many things in him. The more we understand, the more we can connect with him, and the more we can actually receive, because otherwise, if we don't know what we have, you cannot do it. If you don't know how to have it, you're never going to get it. So there is a process there that God wants to build inside us, by which we are not just one day born again and say, oh, it's all done. No, you're just caught inside the door. Now we have to grow in it. We have to get into the kingdom and start to manifest the kingdom, and the manifestation of the kingdom is not because of you, it's because of him, because of his grace working in you. So let's just pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness and the plan that we have for us. It's a good plan, Lord, and we appreciate that, and we love you. Because you love us, we just thank you for what you have done. Because we don't deserve it, but you know us and love us no matter what. You are always there for us. It makes us sensitive and willing to submit ourselves to you, to listen to you, and to obey you, so that your glory and your grace may manifest in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.